It's Trinity Sunday, one of my favorites. And one of the reasons that Trinity Sunday is a favorite of mine is because nothing lifts my spirits to mystical excitement and joy quite like contemplating the Trinity and reading about the Trinity. And I had a particularly good time this week pulling favorite books off my shelf and looking at them again, and thinking about the Trinity. The key point, the foundational idea behind all of our doctrines of the Trinity is God's relationality. The Trinity is all about relationship. And what we find as we think about God's relationality is that it's a really complicated subject. It's complex, it's rich, it's full, it's abundant with thoughts and ideas and concepts. As we try to understand God's relationship with us and all of creation, in that process, the church has identified things that don't quite work. And those have weeded out things and left us, however paradoxical it may seem, with the idea of three in one and one in three. So the idea that the Trinity is three persons that are yet one is the result of realizing that other options don't work. In particular, two other options. First off, we know from our own lives that relationships, even just a little bit of relationship, makes us feel more comfortable, a little more confident. You go to someone to do a work for you, maybe to work on the car or repair the computer, or maybe something more important than that, like an attorney or a doctor, or you go to someone for a work. And it is a cultural norm that we shake hands, that we speak to each other, that we share a little small talk, we chat a little bit, and get around to the problem at hand and how to address it. We make a little bit of relational connection to get to the work of addressing a problem. And we all complain about, we all walk away from situations like that where we go in and the person doesn't want to connect with us, but says, all right, what's the problem? Here's what I'm going to do, right? And we go away and we think, oh, that wasn't fun, right? That didn't help. I didn't experience that positively. And one of the things that we learn from reflecting on that experience is that it is possible to do a work without relationship. But we don't like it. We don't like that. It's not as pleasant as doing a work as part of a relationship, even just a little bit of relationship. I don't need my doctor or my attorney or my computer repairman or my car mechanic to be my best friend, but I do want them to chat with me for a minute before we get down to work. I want a little bit of relationship. So one of the things that the church learned early on is that what the church calls modalism doesn't work. Modalism is the idea that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three ways that God works. Three ways that God works in our life. And the church realizes, Christians realized over the centuries, that The very work of God is relationship itself. And that describing God by work is not adequate. Because you can work without relationship. But the work of God is itself relationships. And so we enter fully into relationship with God when we pray to God. We enter fully in relationship with Christ when we receive sacraments and when we pray to Christ. And we enter fully into relationship with God when we receive the Holy Spirit and listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance in our life and pray in the Holy Spirit. Each of those is a full, complete relational encounter with God. Each is a person. Person meaning relational. So Father, Son, and Spirit aren't just a work, but they are persons that we have relationships with. It's important to understand that. For one thing, how exciting is that, that God is so intent to be in relationship with us, that God is three persons in relationship with us. But then the church realized also, but wait, these three are one. And the other thing that we rejected was tritheism. The idea that there are three gods, not one. And that gets rejected because, among other things, those three are all about the exact same work. Whenever God does work in our lives as Father, Son, or Spirit, whenever the Father works in our life, or the Son works in our life, or the Spirit works in our life, that is God at work in our life. They're doing the same work. And it's always relational. So we say that these three are one. But it's more than just that. It's more than just that. You and I experience the world often as a series of opposites. Hot and cold, day and night. One and many. But God has made all that is and holds it in a loving embrace. And holding everything that is in loving embrace means that God is bigger than everything that is. And so what we experience as opposites are not opposites to God. God does not experience day and night as opposites the way we do. God does not experience hot and cold as opposites the way we do. God does not experience one and many as opposites the way we do. God can be both one and many because those are not opposites to God. And there's a promise buried in there for us. And this is the important part. This is why it's important, as the Collect says, to worship the Trinity in unity and the unity in the Trinity. Because the oneness holds a promise. I always think, when I think about the oneness of God, I always think of the burning bush. Moses and the burning bush. One of my favorite images in all of Scripture. And the reason it's a favorite image of mine in Scripture is because the bush is aflame, but not consumed. And to me, that's an image of the fact that we can be on fire, literally on fire with the presence of God, and not be consumed, or lost, or subsumed, or obliterated. That's what happens at Pentecost. The disciples are so on fire with the presence of God when the Holy Spirit comes into their life that they proclaim the good news in many tongues. God is always, ceaselessly, always pouring out self-giving love. Self-giving love. That's the person part. But always pouring that love out to all of us. And in Christ, we are drawn into that love, that self-giving love. And we're made one with God. We're drawn into a life in which we open ourselves continually to oneness with God. And we realize through all the Christian saints that after we die, we continue to ascend. We continue to grow in that oneness with God. And here's the amazing thing. Just as paradoxical as 3 in 1 and 1 in 3 is the fact that the more we become one with God, the more we become who we truly are. The persons of the Trinity are in part the persons that they are because they are continually giving identity and relationship and being to the other, and they are one. And as we become one with God, we don't lose who we are. We become more of who we are. Now, that's all a lot of abstract thinking. In reality, what it boils down to in many ways is very much like the gospel that we heard today. In the gospel, Jesus is leaving and the disciples are freaked out about it. What do you mean you're leaving? You can't go away. I need you here. What are we going to do when you go away? What do you mean you're going away? Who planned that? I didn't agree to that. And what Jesus says to them is that God is such that even though I'm going away, God will still be present in your life. God will still be present in your life. It's not that you'll just remember what I said. It's not that you'll just know what I taught you. It's not that you'll be alone. I'm going away, but the Spirit is coming. The presence of God will still be in your life. Because the presence of God is always in your life. So Jesus is trying to comfort them and reassure them and encourage them and tell them that the presence, the personal presence of God will still be there. But it'll be different. But it won't be different. But it will be different. But it won't be different. Right? That's the mystery. That's the promise. So this crazy doctrine of the Trinity is full of all kinds of complexities, and people have written volumes upon volumes upon volumes about it. And what it boils down to is how much relational reality God makes, how much God relates to all of creation. And God is persons because God is relational. And God is one because God draws all into God's love and relationship. And the best way we could come up to describe that, as goofy as it is 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. But the promise is that God loves you. And not that God has love for you. God is the love that loves you. God is the love that saves you. We have or don't have feelings. We have or don't have love. Sometimes we love someone and today we hate them. God doesn't have a feeling for us. God is the love that loves us. God is the love that saves us. And over the centuries, as the church has wrestled to come to terms with that and understand it and to realize how over the top amazing it is, we developed language that's over the top amazing and crazy, like 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. And that's what we remember today. That God loves us that much.